Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Mick. We've got a big podcast today here at the Razzball Studios. Hey, how the hell do we not have a studio sponsor? Maybe one of the underwear companies that T-Hole models for could sponsor us? Let's try this. Live from the BananaHammock.com studio, it's the Razzball Podcast. Yep, that could work. Speaking of work, T-Hole wanted to discuss some of the crazy stuff that happens on these underwear shoots, but I said no. You don't want to hear stories about ladies wrestling each other in extra virgin olive oil to win a bet, or the time the body painting girl was sick and T-Hole had to paint six entire girls by hand, and he ran out of blue paint? You don't want to hear that. You want to hear if Gordon Beckham can hit 250 this year. See, I'm looking out for you, Razzballers. I know you. You're my people. So T-Hole's going to pop in and help us dredge the waiver wire instead. We've got author BJ Rudell dropping by to discuss some fantasy baseball tips and tricks he uses to dominate the game, so you don't want to miss that. Here's a sneak peek. He thinks co-GMs are evil. And of course, JB will get us caught up on all things daily fantasy. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Actually, just Rudy today because he's busting out another tool. And Gray said he's sick of looking at Rudy's tools. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of June the 3rd. Here we go. And we are now joined by T-Hole. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, I suppose, at T-HoleBedick47. T-Hole, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Hey, what do you think of the BananaHammock.com studio?
I love the idea.
You know what's funny?
I would be all for that.
Listen, we don't have a sponsor for domain names. Insert sponsor here. But I went to one of them today, and I looked up BananaHammock.com, and it wasn't available. It wasn't even at auction.
You're kidding.
I kid you not.
Oh.
Someone's missing a golden opportunity there, I think, T-Hole.
I'd say so. I'll look into that immediately.
Yeah, get on that. Hey, another thing, too, speaking of getting on it. A couple of people asked me when you are, and I also brought up in the intro that you have had to hand-paint some of the female models before. Is that a tough job?
Painting the females?
Yeah.
Or the males?
Let's stick to females.
It's a pretty enjoyable job. I mean, you don't want to get it in places where they might not want it, but you got to cover everything that can be seen. But it's an enjoyable job. But I would do it full time if I could, but we don't have enough shows going on where I can do that all day, every day. But if I could, I would.
And do you date a lot of your female underwear model colleagues?
Date or have sex with? I wouldn't, whatever you call dating. I'm not a big dater. We do, in this modeling world, I don't know if you've seen Zoolander or not, but it's kind of like a swingers kind of mindset where we're just, you know, drinking magic tea, smoking magic powders, and basically sleeping with everybody.
I guess, though, if you are an underwear model and you're at a bar or a club and someone says, a lady comes up to you and says, so what do you do? And you can say, I'm an underwear model. You can probably get away with unzipping your pants. You know, I guess that's why it kind of accelerates.
Oh, yeah. It just goes straight to that. It's a pretty good opening statement. Intrigues the ladies. They want to know what's underneath the gear right off the bat. So you just, I mean, it's an open... It's just a great opening line. And you don't even have to say it when it comes up. Or, what do you do? I'm an underwear model. They want to know what's underneath. They're already intrigued. All you got to do, it's an easy way to seal the deal.
All right, good stuff. I guess we should talk a little fantasy baseball, although at some point we're going to have a special, you know, like your war stories from days on the shoot. I think we'll do that at some point.
That would be great.
All right, good stuff. Listen, we're going to dredge the waiver wire. I want you to give me a couple guys that you're actually looking at right now, and let's start off with a guy who has, man, I have ridden a roller coaster with this guy for the past couple of years. Talk to me about Gordon Beckham.
Well, he's owned in what, like 2% lately. Nobody owns this guy. I've been looking at him because if you've noticed, I was doing the whole Ricky Weeks thing, and I've been done with that. I had him in like every league, so I've been looking for replacements for him. And Beckham is owned in no leagues almost, and he's raking in the minor leagues. And I feel like he's just going to come in. You need anything. The second base is literally the weakest position in fantasy this year, and he's always had potential. I mean, we saw what he did in his rookie year. He raked, and then he just kind of fell off after that. But I feel like he's somewhere in between the bust and that guy who exploded. So I feel like you're going to get decent production out of him, and he's only on 2% of leagues. So he's a good ad.
Right. He's coming back off there. Back off injuries, so you are referring to his rehab stint in the minors.
Yeah. He's hitting very well down there, and I'm hoping it's going to translate. I think it is.
All right, give me someone else you're looking at right now.
Another second baseman I like is that DJ LeMahieu, however you pronounce it, for the Rockies. He's gotten a couple steals real quick, and I didn't like a lot of people were upset that they dropped Rutledge, Gray's boy. And he's doing a decent job. I mean, again, if you're desperate, I'm going there. I like Pestano, the closer for the Indians, still only owned in about 30-something percent of leagues, and he still hasn't had a save yet, of course, but I feel like Chris Perez, the shoulder thing, it could end up being more than just what it is. Like, it could be like a season ongoing thing, or he could just be done. So Pestano could possibly step in as full-time closer for the year. You want to have him. You want to have a couple pitchers who are pitching pretty well. I like Tirhan on Atlanta. He's a little over 30. He's at like 40%, but I don't know why he's not owned. And closer to 100, he's reached about 5 quality starts in a row here. K's picked up. He got a little unlucky the last game, giving up a couple leadoff triples, which led to the two of the three runs. So he's looking good. I like Ricky Nolasco, who I've grown a deep hatred for over the years, is actually pitching pretty well. Good K's. Unfortunately, it's for the Marlins, so the win's probably tough to come by. Same for I've always been a big Sean Markham fan. I think he's a real solid pitcher. He's hardly owned at all. So if you can swoop him for a couple spot starts, he'd be good to go there.
All right. I'm going to interrupt you for a second, T-Hole, and the reason is first of all, we want to interact on the show here. But second of all, I need to give you props because your big bust out for this year was Dominic Brown. I know he's not available on the waiver wire, but I wanted to give you a little credit there for you went on and on about Dominic Brown this preseason.
Oh, yeah. I've been going on for – I mean, unfortunately, I've been doing this, taking him for years. And, I mean, he's finally erupted and become the man – I've dreamed about him becoming for years. I've fantasized about this man for years. And, like, seeing what he's – I was even complaining the first couple of weeks. I got Sky constantly, this is what happens when you draft Dominic Brown in the eighth. I took him in the eighth round. People were laughing at me. Like, this is what happens. And seeing him dominate on an almost daily basis this last month, it's just been incredible. He is absolutely killing it. But the only problem is, as you probably heard from some of these guys, is he's not really walking at all. So they're thinking could come back down to earth a little bit. But yeah. Like, he's also picked up, he's also stealing bases a little bit the last couple of weeks. He's doing it all. So,
all right. T-Hole,
I'm expecting things to continue.
I'm going to interrupt you again, but I really appreciate the effort and hustle today. You're going all out. I love it. I just want to point out that if you want to interact with at T-Hole Benedict47 on Twitter, T-Hole is also our head-to-head expert. So if you have head-to-head questions, you can go ahead and tweet him up. Also, if you're one of our three female readers and you want T-Hole to tweet you some pictures of himself and some of his work gear, you're welcome to do that too.
Direct message. DM.
T-Hole.
Can I give you some props real quick on the two big trades you made in the Writers League?
Do it.
I've been dogging your roster all year, and then all of a sudden you pick up you, Darvish, the Cy Young, who's going to win the AL Cy Young. I'm giving you that guarantee. That was my preseason pick. Buster Posey, last season's MVP. And now you get my Justin Verlander. So now you're looking stacked. Like, I feel like you've already jumped up a couple points. I feel like you're ready to make some moves. I think you killed dude on the other trade. I mean, you had to give up Montero, an injured Kinsler, and a closer to get the best pitcher in the game and arguably the best catcher in the game. How did you do that?
Well, okay, so T-Hole is referring to the Razzball Writers League, where I think I'm currently in eighth. And basically what I did was my pitching was atrocious, so I basically kind of mortgaged everything I had. I think I actually gave up Aroldis Chapman. I gave up Ian Kinsler, and I gave up Miguel Montero to get Posey and Darvish. And, yeah, definitely I think it's on paper I won that trade. The Verlander trade was with yourself. I got Verlander, and just remind me quick what I gave up.
I traded him for Johnny Cueto, who has looked incredible since the trade. Thank you. And Desmond Jennings. And I didn't like what I've seen from Verlander thus far, and I was kind of desperate for – I need a guy with the upside of, like, some major steals. So that's what I was kind of looking for. I got that. I'm hoping it doesn't kill me in the end here with Verlander winning another site, which he very well could, but I didn't think the drop-off was that huge to Cueto, and I get the speed that I wanted. So hopefully, I mean, he might have won that trade too, but I think I'm okay there.
Listen, we'll see. Trying to get back in contention. Thanks for joining us today, T-Hole. Again, follow him at T-HoleBenick47 on Twitter. Talk to you soon, my man.
Thank you. Have a good one.
The Razzball Podcast.
Okay, and now we are joined by author BJ Rudell. You can follow BJ at BJ Rudell, R-U-D-E-L-L on Twitter. And of course, BJ joined us last year on the Fantasy Football Podcast. He is the author of Fantasy Football for Winners, which has been endorsed by MLB and NFL players. And he's also, and this is key here for my baseballers, he is the two-time National Sporting News MLB champion, finishing first versus nearly 500,000 people who played the game. BJ, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Nick.
So, BJ, what I wanted to talk to you about today, last year you gave us some real great insight when we talked football. So I wanted to have you on, A, to get some maybe out-of-the-box strategies for baseball. And one of the key things I remember you brought up this year was that you're not a big fan of co-ownership. And I think that co-ownership is terrible. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. I agree with you 100%. If you're co-owning a team, one of you is not pulling their weight. And if it's the person you're co-owning with, you need to ditch them. If it's you, you need to learn how to play fantasy sports a little better. When you're co-owning, you can't really make decisions, and because you're constantly compromising what you think is best with what your partner thinks is best. And that's a recipe for second place at best.
At best. And there's nothing more frustrating for me when I'm like, hey, look, you know, we've kind of taken some steps down the path of making a deal here. And it's like, oh, I have to talk to so-and-so about it.
That's right. And, you know, and then a deal falls through because someone else is willing to pull the trigger a lot faster. So it just drags everything down and drags the quality of your decision-making down with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some other... let's say, non-typical areas that you look at when it comes to fantasy baseball that gives you a strategic advantage?
Well, I see a lot of people I compete against really try to stock up on quality closers early, and I think that's a mistake. You know, whether you're playing 10-category or 12-category league, closers tend to come and go as the season goes on. Every season, about a third of the guys closing at the start of the season will not be closing by the end. And so people in the third, fourth, fifth round, they're grabbing Rivera, they're grabbing Kimbrel. They're great players. There's no doubt about it. They have a lot of value. But if they get hurt, you've just burned an early draft pick on a guy who is pretty much replaceable, because their setup guys are going to come in and perform almost at the same level. So you've got to look at those early rounds and think about guys who are irreplaceable rather than guys who are replaceable.
All right. Now, also, you don't worry as much about batting average. I know a lot of people don't necessarily worry about it, but you really, that's something, an area you're not typically looking at.
That's right. A guy who's hitting for batting average is not necessarily scoring runs, hitting homers, getting RBI. I'm looking at guys who are the run producers, you know, through home runs or, you know, just basically driving in runs and getting home runs. And I'm looking for a couple guys who can steal bases, because they're not a dime a dozen if you can get some 40 base stealers on your team. But batting average doesn't significantly boost your total points over the course of a season. And it's something where I see people, I don't know if you remember Edgar Martinez, you know, 15 years ago, perennial 330, 350 hitter, great player. I saw him go in the early rounds. And I thought, you know, here's a guy who's going to increase your batting average a few points, maybe pick up an extra 1 or 2 or 3 points overall in your league, but he's not going to do much else. And so you're counting a lot on someone who's doing one thing well, but there's a lot of guys who hit the ball pretty well. I'd rather get a 300 hitter who gets 15 homers or 20 homers than a 350 hitter who doesn't get any.
Right. Now, you also have mentioned to me in the past that you actually treat injuries as opportunities. Explain that to the audience.
That's right. And this goes a lot more into football than baseball, just because in baseball you can get a guy replacing someone and he's not even close to the same level. You know, if Miguel Cabrera goes down, his replacement is not going to come close to Cabrera's numbers. In football, you get a running back coming in, sometimes can almost mirror or sometimes do better than the running back he replaces. I would say, though, that with closers in particular, injuries do create opportunities. You can get 10th, 12th round value easily. If a closer goes down and another closer comes in to replace him, that guy could be picking up a save every week easily. And keeping an ERA under 3, you've just gotten a steal. And so when there's an injury, you always want to be looking at who's the person replacing him, where is he going to be hitting in the lineup, where is he going to be in the rotation or the bullpen, and can that person provide more value than someone, the worst player I have on my team. And especially if you're looking at two guys who are platooning, if one of those guys goes down, instantly that platoon player becomes a major potential asset on your team. Could be someone hitting 5th or 6th in the lineup, and suddenly those 10 homers and 280 batting average over half a season could turn into 280 and 20 homers and, you know, 80 RBI over the rest of the season, you know, in terms of totals.
Right.
So you always want to be looking at how an injury affects your team. And I think a lot of people look at an injury as just, you know, something that happens through the course of the game. And some people take advantage of it, but I try to take advantage of it every time a good player gets injured, because I know then that replacement has a good chance of being at the very least trade bait for the person who just lost their star player.
Okay. Now, this is, I think the most critical question I'm going to ask you today. You're the 2-time Sporting News fantasy baseball champion. Where's the fantasy baseball book?
Baseball, you know, it's tough. I think a lot of people who play baseball, you have to have a lot of, it's 6 months. You're looking at it, and a lot of people are into it, but then about 2-3 months in, people give up. And so I talk to people about baseball, and I know you're interested in it, Nick. Some people who are interested in it, they're interested until they start losing, and then they give up. With football, I think there's always that chance in November that someone can sneak into the playoffs and
right.
make a run. And I guess there is room for a baseball book out there. I would want people out there to realize that, you know, when you're playing fantasy baseball, if you're down the first month of the season, you're not out. It's never too late to remake your team. And, you know, but it takes a certain stamina to be a good fantasy baseball player.
All right, I'm going to throw this out there, BJ. Okay, unsolicited. I think I see an ebook, a Razzball.com ebook in your future. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, well, we should talk after the call.
Hey, BJ, I also want to say this too, not to blow smoke here, but I actually read Fantasy Football for Winners. It is
Right.
Probably the best fantasy book I've read. And I'm not saying that because you're on. I've never said that to any other authors we've had on. Where can our guests find it?
Thank you. Well, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores around the country. And appreciate the plug.
Absolutely. Okay, BJ, thanks for joining us. And hopefully we'll be able to pull you out again for football season this year.
Sounds good, Nick. Take care.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. And we are joined now by our Daily Fantasy field reporter, the new Scud Stud, at JB Gilpin. JB, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
It's good to be here, although I'd argue that I'm not a new stud. I've always been a stud. What are you talking about?
No, but now you're kind of you're becoming our daily fantasy expert. You're the go-to guy here for our daily fantasy needs at Razzball.com.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. I started playing a little bit. I've tried to hold off playing in the Razzball contest just because I don't want to deny Razzball Nation some winnings. But I played this week, and I got fourth, so I doubled up my money.
And you smoked it, man, and that was fantastic. You did finish fourth, and I think what that really shows is that the post that you do, which comes up every Wednesday at Razzball.com on the guys to play for Friday night over at DraftKings.com, has a lot of value to it. So give me just a couple of the guys you picked last week.
Yeah, had huge weeks from Hisashi Iwakuma. Obviously, blanked the Twins, put up 25.85 points. He was one of the best pitchers. And then I told everyone to spin for Adrian Beltre. He went 4-for-4 with the homer, got 27 points. And then Dominic Brown, my man, because I'm a Brewers fan, I have to watch Giovanni Gallardo be absolutely awful. Just as lobbing softballs up there, and Brown touched him for two homers. So he went 2-for-4, two homers, four RBIs, 32 points. And that core got me in fourth. First place was Margaret. Congratulations. She killed everyone. But she had those three guys as well power her to the top spot. But spots 2 through 10, doubling up from $5 to $10, and the field was pretty small this time, so it's a really easy way to double your money.
And of course, if you don't know what we're talking about, it is the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, which happens every Friday at DraftKings.com, which is the site on the internet for daily fantasy baseball. And basically, JB writes a column that comes up every Wednesday with the guys to look out for in that. Now, not only is that a great way to win some cash, because it's actually a money loser for DraftKings to do it just for us over at Razzball. You can only visit there by clicking through JB's link, again, which is posted at Razzball.com on Wednesdays. If you can't find it, look in the search box, look up DraftKings, and it'll pop you over to JB's post. So, but not only that, but when they have their big contest, and there's one coming up in the next couple weeks we're going to discuss in a second, a lot of times they give us entries into that. So that'll accelerate your daily fantasy process here. So JB, what is the big upcoming contest over at DraftKings.com, which I think launches June 16th, if memory serves?
It's actually June 14th, which will be not this Friday, but the following Friday. So the top spot in the Play with Rudy contest gets entered into their $100,000 punch-out. Which the top prize is $20,000. There's going to be a ton of entrants. Let me see how many people are in it today. The top spot every week will get a ticket into that. It's $100 value. 250 people get paid in this thing. There's a lot of people in it, but one of the guys who won one of our Play with Rudy's got 54th in it, won $200, all from a $5 entry fee in one of our Razzball exclusive contests. Just a really big way to have a good time, not spend too much of your money, and have a chance to win it big.
Good stuff. And who do you like this Friday? Want to give us a sneak preview of maybe someone you're looking at for this Friday's contest?
Yeah, looking ahead at the matchups right now, it looks like Matt Harvey will have a shot to go against the Marlins. Now, this is obviously with the caveat that starting rotations haven't been announced yet, and there could be some rainouts or something like that. But it's looking like he'll be facing the Marlins at home. He got really unlucky last week. I watched a lot of that game yesterday, actually, and a lot of flair hits. I think he can bounce back. He'll be a big Big price pitcher to go with, but I think a guy who you want to pay for. And another guy is Patrick Corbin, who I know he's been a little iffy the past couple of games, but he just always seems to win. He'll get the Giants at home. Sandoval is a little banged up. He might not even be in the lineup yet. That lineup just doesn't look very good, especially with Sandoval out of it. I think that's a good matchup.
Who's the next pitcher you're scouting? Because one thing JB also does is he scouts particular pitching matchups and breaks down how the pitcher did in a regular post at Razzball.com. Who are you looking at next?
Well, I usually pick prospects, a lot of guys that people haven't heard of, but I had a lot of requests for Jeff Samardzija, so I broke down his last start Saturday night. That will be coming out. By the time you're listening to this, it'll be out, so it'll be an article or two down. Looked really good and got 11 strikeouts. I'm looking to do more prospects the next few weeks. I need to do a Gausman article. I'm really interested in him. Maybe another Jacob Turner would be on the plate. So those are some guys that we're looking forward to break down sometime this month.
Good stuff. All right, JB, listen, thanks for joining us. If you have pitching questions or you have daily fantasy questions, or you're just sitting home and you're bored and lonely and want someone to interact with, hit up my man at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. He is the guy to talk to over at Razzball.com. JB, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. Always a blast.
The Razzball Podcast.
And now we are pleased to be joined by none other than the man with the afro himself, Mr. Rudy Gamble. Rudy, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for having my afro and fitting it in the studio.
Absolutely. I hope you healed from the wounds last week after the waxing issues at Sky's blow-up doll emporium.
Yeah, no, I don't know where that one came from. You know, I can't wax. It's the ingrown hairs, whatnot.
So, you know, we've had a lot of fun this week or in today's show. There's been lots of discussions about different stuff. You know, T-Hole talked about how easy it is as an underwear model to pick up women. You know, BJ Rudell joined us to discuss advanced fantasy baseball strategies. JB came on to talk about DraftKings. But we got another big one, you and I this week. The buy-sell machine, the latest tool from Razzball.com. You know, I'm starting to wonder, Rudy, do you have time for anything else? Because you just keep banging out these new tools.
I'm telling you, once you get the foundation down, it's pretty easy to crank out the new tools. So this one's officially Bicellotops.
Oh, Bicellotops.
Yes, everyone thought it was extinct, but it is back.
All right, tell me how this works.
So, you know, Gray writes a great buy-sell post every week.
Right.
And if you look through all our player pages, you'll see things saying, okay, well, this is what he's worth to date, and this is what he's worth rest of season. So the thing is, everyone's just used to waiting for articles on what to buy-sell. And then I remember we've gotten posts like, how could you have not had Alcides Escobar as a buy or a sell based on your data?
Right.
It's like, oh, great. You know, so it's like, okay, well, I'll just create a machine that does that. So it takes, you know, all the players in the universe, says this is what they've been worth to date, and this is what they're worth in the last 30 days. And here's what I think they'll be worth rest of season, and it sorts it by the biggest difference. So right now, Chris Davis, who's playing out of his mind, you know, is number one only because right now he's to date been a $53 player, been a $40 player the last 30 days, and rest of the season we project him at $11.
Right. So, and I think this is interesting because, and this is what introduced me to
Bicellotops.
Bicellotops was that Gray's post last week was about why you should buy Jason Hayward, who scares me right now, but he, in terms of rest of season, according to the Bicellotops, might be your best bet out there.
Yeah, no, we've just traded for him in one league. I mean, don't worry, I'm a little scared. We've got him in two leagues right now. So the guy who's going to be at the top of this is always going to be a guy who's been crushed to date. You know, BJ Upton will do probably well in it as well. So it's, you know, so the guys at the top are the ones that are due for to bounce back, you know, to get to move up, where the guys at the top are going to be guys that have been playing out of their mind. So it could get a little scary on those, but this is something I'd use for every trade. You know, we all aim to sell high and buy low. This thing actually helps, you know, does the math for you so you could see, okay, well, you know, for rest of season, this is good. And I do, and you could see if you're the one who's basically getting the better end of the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a way to look at it real quick. And again, there's another new tool, right?
Oh, which one's that?
The Platoony Tunes.
Yeah, there's, in the player pages, you know, there's some great stats that basically tell you what a guy's worth against right-handed pitchers versus left-handed pitchers, and then shows you what his stats would look like if you spent a whole season facing one or the other. And the goal of that is that, you know, like, how do I know the guys on my roster, and maybe free agents, who are ones that I want to sit or start against a certain type of pitcher?
Right.
The Platoony Tunes just dumps everyone into one table, and you could actually sort by how much better they do versus one pitcher versus the other. So right now, Shin-Soo Choo is number one on the list because he's quite good against righties, quite bad against lefties. You know, you sort it the other way, and you'll find out, you know, the right-handed hitters who murder lefties and don't do as well against righties.
So what can I ask you, Rudy? Is that it for now, or do you have more stuff coming down the pipe?
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, whatever ideas we get from our people. I mean, I think Sun Extreminator really came out of the demand from the readers. Hittertron was kind of a natural extension of that. The player page is a natural extension out of that. So clearly buy-sell was important, and it seemed like something where, you know, like we can come up with something that you could read the Friday post because Gray comes out with great stuff and it's always entertaining. But now any day you could look at, you know, the whole group. So, yeah, I imagine there'll be more tools that we can come up with.
We need a way, I think, to rank the Razzball writers. You know, maybe comments divided by, you know, amount of letters or characters in a post.
It's possible, but, you know, I'd rank myself number one. However, if the machine didn't have me number one, I would just shelve it.
Well, you just reverse engineer it. Okay, Rudy's number one, so what are the stats we're putting based on that?
Yeah, it's like everything is weighted appropriately, and then it's like times 50 times, you know, their afro.
Circumference of
afro weighting.
All right, beauty. Hey, JB was on earlier today, and he talked about that he actually finished fourth in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest last Friday over at DraftKings.com. I think that's the highest finish from one of us in the actual contest.
No, I finished third, I think, in the first week. But yeah, last week was brutal. I had a Strasburg. I couldn't have been the only one this happened to. Strasburg goes out after two innings. And then I have Pujols, and he doesn't play. And if it's a West, and you know, if it's a West Coast guy who doesn't play, you don't really have many options left.
But you can always substitute before the West Coast guy's game starts, and that's unique to DraftKings.com.
Oh, no, totally. It's saying that if it's a West Coast guy, there's clearly not that many more first basemen to choose from.
What, Justin Smoke's not an option?
I had plans, and it was a Friday, you know, so I didn't get, you know, I had to take the lady out, so I didn't have a chance to swap anyone in. But I think Strasburg did me in, the Pujols one hurt, and then I thought Johnny Gomes would hit Sabathia.
Yeah.
He's a Platoony Tune guy. no luck. So, yeah, I'm still looking for my first win. I seem to be regressing, though.
All right, Rudy,
I was like top. Sorry. I felt like I was like top 20% or so the first two or three weeks, and now I don't think I finished in the first half this time.
You know what, JB, and this is why you want to follow. I'm not trying to plug JB here, but this is why you want to read JB's post. He's really plugged in, and he's come up with a strategy. It's all based around the starting pitcher. You don't want to spend a lot of money in your starting pitcher. So he's using the Streaminator, finding a real value pitcher. Because, again, okay, so Strasburg got lit up this week, but everyone's going to take, you know, a Strasburg or a Kershaw or a Darvish.
I did well with Cueto. I had Cueto at Pittsburgh, and I think that was probably the highest scoring thing. But I might go to the value pitcher for maybe one or the two. I think I'd done well in the past with Jerome Williams for 5,000. Where, yeah, it's right. I mean, like, you get a value pitcher, you're going to save $5,000, which allows you to go up to elite hitters for maybe two more positions.
Right, absolutely.
I'm grabbing that one. I'm taking it as my own, JB. I just came up with it later.
I want to put you on the spot here. So I am really close to first place in the Razzball Champions League, and that's the 11 highest scorers from the Razzball Commentators Leagues last year, and you guys threw me in, which is unfair because I love fantasy baseball, I love talking about it, but I'm not the expert that you guys are. So I'm curious, how are you and Gray doing this year in some of the expert leagues you guys are in? Because we're not really able to follow it. I know sometimes you guys will bring it up or reference it in a post, but how are you actually doing in kind of your top flight competitive leagues this year?
No, so we actually have a post going up soon. We usually do it on the quarter mark, but we're going to get it on the third mark. So I imagine a post will be out this week. It's been a mixed bag. We've had the three biggest ones we're in is Labor, Tout, and Yahoo Friends and Family.
Yep.
All those are mixed leagues, generally 14 to 15 team, and you know we're either in middle or lower end of the pack in all three. I could the post will give a little more explanation. I hate talking about my teams because it can get pretty boring, but a mix of injuries and two of the three, we just got crushed with bullpen. And you know what it is? If when you're in a 14, 15 team league with weekly pickups in two of them,
yep.
And you draft Axford in both,
right?
And in one you draft Hanrahan and one you draft Rondon,
oof.
It's a pretty bad way to start the league. The Labor pitching one is just brutal because we had Greinke and Garza as our 1-3.
Oh.
In other leagues, we're doing really well. I think right now I think we're near first or second in at least one or two leagues, including RCL, where I'm number two in the expert league. And Gray is number five and coming on strong with a ridiculous offense right now.
And you guys, I believe it's in the Yahoo Friends and Family League, you guys took Harper in the first round, 13th overall, something like that?
Yeah, that pick ended up okay. But I think the Yahoo Friends and Family one, which Andy Behrens is leading, so I'll give him his props. B.J. Upton's on that team. Verlander was our – and this draft was all me. Verlander was the second pick, and this is the year Verlander decides to be average, except for K's. But he has a 1-3 whip, Verlander.
Yeah, I know.
Gallardo and Kennedy are a 2-3. So our ERA's whips are just blown.
When you guys actually do these, because I think for Labor, do you guys actually get together? I know in some of these expert leagues you actually get together, right?
Well, Labor, when it's AL and NL only, they meet in Arizona. So okay. We did that about 2 years ago. For the ones that are online, we just connect via phone. So... yeah, I mean, a lot of these, I think all three of those I mentioned were snake drafts. We didn't pick, I think our picks were like 12th, 14th, and like 10th. Like, we had awful positions, but the reality was we actually did pretty well with our first round picks. But, I would say that the Tout one has, we had Hayward and BJ Upton as our number two and number three guys. It's just so hard to recover from that kind of thing. So, a bit licking our wounds. I think we're due for a little bit of upticks on all those. But, I think we're still waiting on, I think, I would love to have the championship belt on one of those three.
But I think...
I'd be surprised if we don't win at least one or two leagues.
But the real question here I have is when you guys all get together, when you got the Yahoo guys and the ESPN guys and the Roto-World guys all in one room together, does it get rough? Is there pocket protectors and scientific calculators being thrown across the room? How does that typically work? Not that I'm painting you with a broad brush.
Surprisingly, everyone there is extremely buff, well-tanned, and over 6'2".
Oh, you sent T-hole this year.
It's like an alpha male convention. I'm like, I can't believe it. Eric Carabel is 6'4". I don't know. I mean, we only got to do that once, and it was great. Everyone was really nice. So it was cool meeting some of these guys in person. So we keep on lobbying. Hopefully, we'll get to another in-person AL or NL only. It seems like we do better in AL NL only than we seem to do in these 15-team mixed. It's Yeah, it's kind of like three beasts. Like the 10 to 12 team leagues, like RCL, are the all-encompassing daily pickup leagues.
Yeah.
Like the 15 team ones, really, it's like when you have weekly pickups. Oh, you know, like if something goes wrong at the draft, you know, injuries, like I said, our two bullpen guys basically don't get a save. It's hard to recover. You need a lot of good fortune. And then the ALN only is that kind of even on steroids. But if you're doing auction, you could really come out with a sizable advantage.
Because I could
just
see...
That's where I am on. I have an AL only with Fantasy Pros 911, where we go pretty far back with the Patrick DiCaprio who's out of there. And that's a league AL only I've been doing for 3-4 years, and this feels like the year I could win it.
See, I'm still stuck. I'm still stuck on the live draft here, Rudy. I'm still stuck on, you know, picturing you guys out drinking, doing shots of a European herb and spice based digestive, you know, after the live event at the Pink Taco in Phoenix. You know, that's, I don't know, it's in my head.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't tell that, but yeah, it was. Yeah, the Phoenix thing's good. I have a feeling that Gray and I are gonna make up an excuse to go to Phoenix next year, whether we're invited or not.
All right, I'll join you too. I usually go every spring.
There you go. Yeah, that we could all go to the Pink Taco. Isn't that some rich kids thing that they have one in Vegas, don't they?
Yeah, I've been there. It's at the Hard Rock. You want to use hand sanitizer as you leave, but no, actually, the food was actually really good. It's just a marketing thing, but Pink Taco, I like it.
Yeah, no, their fish tacos are pretty good.
Rudy, thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Thanks for having.
Hey, if you want to follow my man, Mr. Gamble, at Rudy Gamble on Twitter, I am at Nick Capozzi on Twitter. We'll talk to you soon, ladies and gentlemen.